rate review process to establish the charges that those haulers are authorized to collect from residential customers, and that's for garbage, recycling, and yard debris collection, including the food scraps. The review process includes a CPA analysis of the hauler's financial records, and then we also work through the Portland Utility Review Board for discussion. We take a look at all of the different factors that affect rates, and so that's, you know, labor, equipment, fuel, the average weight of the garbage can, disposal charges for the solid waste that's collected, disposal charges for the yard debris and compostable materials collected, and the rates also include a credit to customers for the value of the recyclables that are in their collection containers. This year, several of those factors are putting upward pressure on rates, and that includes labor and the purchase of vehicles to reduce diesel emissions. There are other factors that are pushing down on rates. That includes fuel, for example. The largest single factor pushing down on rates is the operating efficiencies of haulers. So we want to recognize that their role in this system is critical, and when they achieve efficiencies through this process, we're able to pass those savings on to customers. One of the other factors that's putting downward pressure on rates is that the roll carts that customers have are now largely depreciated, and so essentially the charge to customers for the roll carts is lower, and that accounts for the difference you'll see in the charges for the 32-gallon can and the 35-gallon cart, which are the two most common levels of service. So we have a decrease for the 35-gallon cart, but a slight increase for the 32-gallon can. And if you look across all the rate classes, 60% of customers will see a reduction in their rates, 20% will see rates staying the same, and a little under 20% of customers will see a slight increase in rates. And so that's the result simply of cranking through the math on the cost of serving those different levels. And then, as in the past, the rates do include a slight incentive for customers who have less garbage to throw away, have the lower levels of garbage service, smaller cans. It includes a slight disincentive for the largest sized carts. Those incentives and disincentives have narrowed somewhat. We narrowed them last year. We've narrowed them again this year. But they are still reflected in the rates. I want to call attention to the fact that all of our residential customers have choices in the level of service they receive. So anyone can sign up for whichever level of service best meets their needs. You can change that by calling your garbage hauler. Different rates have different charges. So we want people to choose the service they need, don't get more than they need, and pay for things they don't need, but certainly have enough capacity in the garbage to take care of whatever their household needs at a given time. The last thing I want to call attention to is that Portland residents continue to do a great job recycling. Before we added food scraps to the weekly yard debris collection, the residential recycling rate was in the neighborhood of 50%. Today, that rate is around 70%. That's really great for resource conservation. It's also good for rates. So that's one of the things contributing to this downward pressure on rates, and it's one reason the proposed rates here are flat or down for 80% of customers. So with that, I'd invite questions. I think between Bruce and me, we'll do our best to answer them.
Commissioner Novick, I have a question for you. I live in inner northeast Portland, and the carters, like on Thursdays when there's a lot in my neighborhood, carters often, like on Knott, when they're collecting trash, will cross over to the other side of the road against traffic and double park facing the wrong way. And it always struck me as a dangerous thing to do, but I didn't know whether code addressed whether a carter had the right to do that or not.
I'm not aware of any special exemption for carters, but I can check.
Yeah, and I would be happy then, whatever the law is, just to give a friendly reminder. It does seem especially dangerous to be facing the wrong direction, double parked on the other side of the road, particularly when you have to, you pull out, you're pulling out into traffic.
Yeah.
And while I appreciate some of the challenges of collecting garbage, the alternative is actually just to go a block, turn around, and come back like the rest of us. So I just wanted to pose that question.
Thank you.
Are you, I guess one question I'm having that I wanted to pose, and that is, in terms of feedback to the Bureau about both the collection schedule and the rate system, what are you hearing these days compared to a year ago or 2 years ago when there were some changes afoot?
Yeah, so certainly 2 years ago, we had a huge spike in calls with questions of all sort. Some of them commenting on how they felt about the changes in adding food scraps to the yard debris, the change to every other week garbage. Some of them questions just practical how it works. We've seen calls return to normal levels. You know, we continue to get inquiries about how to recycle different things. Who's my hauler being probably the number one call we get. In terms of feedback, I don't know. Bruce, would you care to generalize?
Well, it's primarily questions about some of the hard to recycle items, but the normalization, if you will, of the new collection program has really improved, and as Michael pointed out, calls dropped off significantly.
Mm-hmm. Normalization is a good word. So you feel like that's what we've achieved by now?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Question I had last year was, would it be possible to reduce compost pickup during the winter months, you know, when you're past leaf season and before you get to the hot season when people things smell bad if they're left for too long? I mean, it seems silly to put out the whole compost bin when you've got, you know, three chicken bones in it for a week. I think that the answer was logistically it might be difficult to arrange just to have the compost pickup go to every 2 weeks during the winter, but I'm still curious what the answer is.
So I'm trying to recall, we did take a look at it last year, and it actually might be a good question to have Dave White or someone else speaking for the haulers address as well. I think logistically, you know, essentially turning on and turning off that service, both operationally and then in terms of communications with customers so they know what to expect, would be probably not insurmountable, but would be a challenge. As it stands, we strongly encourage people to sign up for email reminders of which week is garbage week, which versus every week. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten 10,000 people to sign up for that. But we've got 145,000 customers, and the calls we get are often, is this my garbage week or not? And so I don't want to underestimate the challenge of helping remind people what's picked up when. But I think it is something we're happy to continue to talk about and look at again. And I would welcome all our response to that question as well. How practical would it be?
Commissioner Novick, I have thought of you every time I have put my little bag of scraps into the big can in between times that over this winter.
Yeah, I'm touched to hear that. another just sort of curiosity question. I went out to one recycling place where they said that the amount of recycling volume they've gotten over the years has diminished because people aren't getting as many newspapers, and newspapers make up a large percentage of recycling. I'm curious, since the Oregonian has gone to four-day-a-week delivery, have you seen a reduction in newspaper recycling volume?
Have you looked at those numbers? We talked about exactly this because it has diminished substantially over the years. I don't know if we've seen numbers
yet. I think
yet.
We should know for the record the Tribune has gone to twice a week and Street Roots is about to go weekly.
I think tabs on.
That would boost the paper level, but there's been a drop because the reason you mentioned. So by that, I mean a drop of the newsprint that's set out in the cart. We've done some sorts of what makes up what constitutes the recycling in the cart.
And has there been a further drop just in the past couple of months? Do we know that yet?
Yes, since the change last fall to the reduced collection or the reduced delivery.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to cover?
I think that's what we've got.
All right, great. Further questions for the team? Thank you both.
All right, thank you.
Do we have anyone signed up? We want to invite Public Utility Review Board and BAC members up first, and then we'll take public testimony after that. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Gordon Feiner. I'm the interim chair of the Portland Utility Review Board, and we have a brief prepared statement that we submitted to council written several weeks ago. We recommend that the mayor and city council adopt the proposed solid waste and recycling rates as proposed by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. The Bureau has done a thorough and in-depth analysis of multiple factors to arrive at these proposed rates, and we feel they are both fair and equitable to all users of the system, including the ratepayers and the haulers. We'd also like to recognize that due to the solid waste franchise system and the management of BPS, residential rates have remained flat and even decreased over the past 2 years, and that is definitely a good thing.
I'm John Gibbon. I'm by about 3 minutes senior member of the PERB. Gordon signed after I did 4 years ago. I would point out the one thing that we took a look at PERB, and I feel we thoroughly discussed, was the little bit of differential that you see between the cost for the 32-gallon can and the 35-gallon cart, with the there being a slight increase to the 32-gallon can. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty satisfied from conversations with the haulers that that's directly related to labor costs, which is completely understandable in this situation. So that kind of increase in rate is just one of those things that I'm one of those people that needs to call up my hauler and have the 35-gallon can or 35-gallon cart delivered and retire my 32-gallon can. I will get to it. On your issue, Commissioner Novick, about cutting back recycling during the
compost specifically.
Yeah, compost specifically. I'm different than a lot of people. I compost all my leaves, and I've got a very big yard. And my biggest push of materials going into the compost can is in the early spring when the weeds start coming up, and I go around and clear out my yard and deal with the leaves, or I mean the weeds and the sometimes branches down. So I'm not sure that I'd be really happy. I think it really has been better for me to have it come week by week. Just my impression. And this morning I just dropped one green bag in my compost bin too. But
yeah, I was kind of thinking like December, January, February, that might be a time when the leaves, you are dealing with the spring weeds or fall leaves.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, and I live in a place that has a lot of trees. It's called Quail Park in southwest Portland. And because we're private streets, we're in the situation we have to move a lot of leaves off our property. And over the last few years, we've been bringing in dumpsters. And it's the end of December into January, we're still cleaning up leaves. So, we push everybody in the neighborhood to use the carts to get them hauled out. So I think the weekly is really better for us.
Okay. Fair enough. Good. Any questions for these two great volunteers? Thank you both. Thank you. And do we have anyone signed up to testify on this one?
Yes, one more person. Dave White.
Come on up. How are you?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and council members. My name is Dave White, and I am regional representative for the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. And in that position, I represent the Portland Haulers Association, and you might hear that as a new name now. We were formerly the Tri-County Council, and this past year we changed the name to the Portland Haulers Association. It made more sense. That association is made up of the City of Portland's residential solid waste and recycling collection companies. The Portland Haulers Association supports the rate ordinance that is before you today. As noted in the staff report, rates will stay flat or slightly decrease for 80% of Portland's residential customers. We are proud that the report acknowledges that this is in large part due to the haulers' operating efficiencies. We also appreciate that the Portland Utility Review Board has recognized the haulers' efforts to contain costs and increase efficiencies. These proposed rates that are before you implement a couple of changes that we have been advocating for some time. One is the disincentive in the 60-gallon and the 90-gallon roll cart has been decreased, and that has caused a slight decrease in rates. And we think this is a move in the right direction. It will help customers subscribe for the service that meets their garbage disposal needs and will thereby help reduce somewhat contamination in the recycling cart. The second point is the rate difference between the 32-gallon can and 35-gallon cart is reduced, as the member of PERB mentioned. This will provide an incentive for customers to subscribe to cart service, which is more convenient for customers and safer for our workers. So in closing, the Portland residential haulers are committed to working in partnership with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to maintain and improve the city's solid waste recycling and organics collection program. They are always looking for ways to increase their efficiency and contain their costs, and they're doing it in a way that allows them to achieve their goal of excellent customer service, sustainable results, and operational safety. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
First, let me just say that the haulers who service my neighborhood do a great job, but when we get an answer to the question I asked the transportation commissioner, we'll furnish it to you so you can get the word
now,
out.
Now, I'm a hard of hearing, so it's kind of hard to hear in here, but were you saying that there are companies that drive on the opposite side of the road to do the collection?
Correct.
And that's the question you have? You know, I can get you some information on that also. I've not heard about that in more urban areas. But I can tell you that it happens, it definitely happens, in more rural areas. I just saw it out in Verbort last week, and I'm driving along, and this garbage truck ended up on the other side of the road, and like you mentioned. My understanding is, I don't work at the state level, but our association does, and this past legislative session, there was actually a law passed that allowed that, and it was probably more for liability reasons, et cetera. And obviously, we try to be very cautious in doing that. But in more rural areas, I know it happens. But I can get some information for you on that also. I'm surprised that it's happening in urban, because to the degree that we are automated, the lift arm is on this side.
Right.
And if they drive over here, they can't lift it. So it must be...
Yeah, and let's be clear about the consequences, because they're double parked on the facing the wrong side, facing against traffic on the wrong side of the street. When people get backed up because they can't pass the truck until... you create that hazard, and they're passing the truck the wrong way. And second, when the truck pulls out, they're heading against traffic and crossing over, which is actually not how the roads were structured. So my guess is there's a hornet's nest of liability issues involved, and it's easily cured by just
going around
into the nearest street, turning around, and coming the right way with the traffic.
This is the first I've heard of this, actually, in the city of Portland. And we had a Portland haulers meeting yesterday, and I would have been glad to talk to them about it. But I will follow up on that.
Yeah, it'd be good to know if it's – obviously, you've seen it, so it exists in part of the
city. Up and down Knott, for example. Yeah. And it's just – it's. I assumed it's so pervasive that people thought they could do it. That's why I asked.
I don't know.
Maybe they can't, but it'd be good to know.
Okay. Other questions for Dave? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
He's the only one signed up on this one, Carl?
Correct.
Okay, then.
So I have a comment,
please.
And that is thanks to the Portland Utility Review Board and to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and to the Haulers Association for really great work on this. And thank you to KATU for covering it. I'm very hopeful that this will be on the news, and I'm very glad that they're covering this good news story of decreasing the rates and holding them steady for 2 years. Thank you.
You're here. Thank you. Okay, this moves to second reading next week.